Today's psalm may not be as well known as the 23rd psalm, but for many people, the 46th psalm is a psalm that provides great comfort in the midst of turmoil. This psalm not only provides personal comfort, but should bring comfort to all of the people of God. Some theologians consider this a psalm of trust or a psalm of faith. And the psalm begins with these famous words, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. This is a great statement. This is a comforting statement. To know that God is our place of refuge, to know that God is our strength, because we live in a world of chaos, trouble, and tragedy. The psalmist describes this. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Now, if you go back to the creation story, it was out of the chaos of the seas that God raised the land and the mountains. And what we see in these verses is that it seems that we see God's creation is falling apart and going back to chaos. Think about how that even applies to today. Tornado outbreaks, earthquakes, floods, volcanoes, global warming, the melting of the polar ice caps, you name it. The world has been falling apart for a long time. Now, if you want to read something interesting, look up Time News magazine in the 1970s. They were so scared of global cooling, they were going to find a way to pollute the world to make it warmer. Say what you want. But why does God's creation seem to be falling apart? I've mentioned this before, but the reason is our sin. And we go back to Genesis 3. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. The scriptures go on to remind Adam, if you remember from the scripture story, he was formed from the dust. And to dust he would return. Like it or not, we are a part of God's creation. And when Adam sinned and we continue to sin, it affects creation. The goodness of God's creation was cursed by God because of man's sin. And Paul writes this in Romans chapter 8, 19. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. If we skip on down to verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Creation seems to be falling apart. Creation itself is groaning. But even when all of this is going on, the psalmist gives us hope. In verse 4, it says, there is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. The original Hebrew could be translated as, imagine that there is a river. Yes, things are falling apart right now, but let's take time for a moment and imagine that there is this beautiful river. Remember, going back to Eden, there was a river that went through the garden.
The psalmist wants to remind us that creation once was perfect before it was corrupted by sin and cursed by God. And the psalmist also wants us to look forward to the new creation that God has promised for us. A new creation where everything is restored as it should be. A new creation where once again we'll be directly in the presence of God. And we get a picture of that from Revelation 22. It reads, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse." Do you see that? God's going to remove the curse from creation. And then it says, "The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." That's the promise we have from God, that one day he's going to restore everything to the way it should be. And to those who have salvation in Jesus Christ, they will be redeemed and restored to the good creation they were made to be. All the evil, all the sin, all of the bad desires, everything will be gone and taken from us, and we will dwell directly in the presence of God. And as we go back to the psalm, it said, "God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day." The psalmist said in verse 4, imagine what it will be like, perfectly restored in the presence of God. Yet here in verse 5, the psalmist says that even now, even in its broken state, God is still with us, and God is not going to let it completely fail. The last line says that God will help her at the break of day. This is the exact wording used at the Exodus when God parted the waters. The Israelites had the sea in front of them, and on the other side was the Egyptian army fast approaching. And what did God do? Before finals of disaster struck the Israelites, God demonstrated his power and control over the earth and parted the waters. It was in his timing and by his means. But before it was too late and all was lost, God delivered just as he intended to. And the same thing applies to us today. We must have faith that even when we think the world is falling apart, God promises that he will act at the right time. And here we see a turn in the psalmist from creation directly to the people. Psalm 46 says, "Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Now, how true has this been in every generation? Some of you have parents that lived through World War I, the war to end all world, right? It was going to be great, and we have a League of Nations, and nobody's ever going to fight again. And then the Great Depression happens, and Hitler comes to rise to power, and we have another great war. And oh, we're going to win that war, we're going to stop the communists, and we're going to do all the great things, and we're never going to have a war. Oh, Korea. And we're going to do all the, Vietnam. And all the, right? Every generation, some of us lived through the Cold War, some of us lived through all of this. Tell me a generation that has not seen it. Yet even in all of the chaos, even in all of the disorder, we are reminded that God is with us and that our faith in God is our protection. And with the promises we have from God, why should we have any fear? See, the verse says, God is our fortress. That means we will be attacked. That means bad things will happen. Things are going to go on around us. But in God, in our faith, we have protection. And with Him as our fortress, we should not fear. And going back to Romans 8, Paul writes, after talking about creation, after talking about groaning for restoration and salvation and bringing back things, Paul writes in 8:31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We need to always have faith that God is God. And even though His ways are mysterious, even though we don't always understand why, especially in tragic moments, we have to have faith that God has done great things in the past, and God has promised that He will do great things in the future. And the psalmist continues, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The psalmist wants us to remember all that God has done and all the times He has delivered. The psalmist wants us to remember all the promises that God has made and kept. And he wants us to remember all of the promises yet to come. And he wants us to remain calm in the chaos and know that in the end, He has got this. Think about our New Testament reading. From Mark, we go back to the boat, leaving the crown behind them. They took Him along, that's Jesus, just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. And a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? And showing His great power, says He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, it was completely calm. And He said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. Yes, God's got the ability to end everything today. And I can't tell you what His timing is or why His timing is. But you see, our faith is the key. We may not always know when or how God will intervene, but we must have faith that God can and will intervene on His timing. And finding calm in this world is not easy. But we can always find calm through our faith. Because as the psalmist concludes, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There have been many times in my life when chaos and troubles have come. There have been times when I have been overwhelmed, and like disciples, I cried out, God, don't you even care? But those are the times when I had to do a reset, when I have to remember who God was. I have to remember what God has done in my life and what God has promised to do in my life. And that's when I remember to turn my faith to God and remember that He is my fortress. And that when I am still, that is when I give God room to work. It's just like a child throwing a tantrum, right? You can't do anything with them until they calm down and sit still, right? It's the same with us. If we run around screaming our heads off in chaos, guess what's going to continue to happen? Chaos. And when you want God to work, you need to be still and have faith and go to God and let God instruct you. This is what you do in this chaos. This is how you handle this chaos. This is how you love. This is how you witness. This is how you go forward. When I was deployed following 9/11, it was my faith that carried me even in the toughest of times. When I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, it was my faith that carried me even though the surgery and the changes that followed were difficult. It is through faith that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And instead of crying out, God, don't you even care? In our faith, this is how we should cry out. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. And I am warm. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Isn't that a much better vision? In the chaos and in the storm, when you turn on the news and everything's going on, when things are falling apart in your life and you get bad news and things are going on and you're too many times in the hospital, instead of crying out, where are you? Don't you even care, God? Because the scriptures tells us He cares. He loves. He's our fortress. He's our strength. He's our refuge. And what He wants us to do, reach out and say, God, take my hand and lead me on. Every one of us is in the midst of chaos. For some of us, it's a very personal chaos. For others, you don't have to look very far to see that the chaos is upon you. It is upon a country. It's on our college campuses. It's in our political halls. It's on social media. It's on the news. There are wars being fought that aren't even being reported. We hear about Israel and Hamas every day, but you know, in Africa, there are people dying every day because of war. And it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to say, where's God in all of this? But when you look back to the scriptures and you understand that we are living in the experience of sin, what we see in front of us is a testimony of the devastation of sin. And it doesn't matter if it's an earthly tragedy, like an earthquake or tornado, and we've seen a lot of those in the flooding in Texas and other places. It should be a wake-up call to us to understand that sin devastates. Sin destroys. Sin brings death. And there's only one solution to that. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ.
And when we see all the sin and destruction around us, our faith should be a testimony to people, because we stand behind the fortress of our God. We stand behind the strength of our faith in Jesus Christ. And we have the hope and the peace of the promises that are given to us, that one day God will restore those who are faithful to Him and the eternal city, eternally in His presence, living forever and only goodness. And that is our hope. That should be our testimony. And that's how we should live and how people should see us live. People who are led by the hand by God, not by people who are crying out the same cries of the lost world. Because just like Jesus told the people in the boat, I'm with you. What more do you want? I'm with you. Let us leave here today knowing that we are truly abounding in God's love, that we, through faith, are His children, and that He wants to provide us a fortress of protection and promises of hope eternal. And Lord, as we gather following this, Lord, bless our time together in fellowship. We thank you for all the food that was provided. We ask just your hand, a blessing to be on those who provided, and a blessing to be on our time of fellowship. This we ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.